Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here, and a happy Christmas to those I've not seen so far. So I hope you've had a good Christmas, and I'll hand over to George for some intimations.
And I had a very nice Christmas. Yep, the intimations are as followed, and they're very, very brief. And the order of service will come up for everybody to have a look at very quickly, because we only had four and I handed them out. Anyway, the intimations. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. As part of the Warm Welcome Initiative, the church will be open on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 5 until the end of March. The Sanctuary Cinema will show a film every week, but there is a short break in the programme until the 8th of January, when the next film will be Downton Abbey, the grand finale. Films start at 2 o'clock, admission is free, tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. Holy Communion will be celebrated, we will celebrate Communion on Sunday the 18th of January. And for those on Zoom, here's a wee look at the order of service for everybody on Zoom and in the church this morning. So, thank you.
So here we are. Did you have a good Christmas? Good. We're here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 331, Unto Us a Boy is Born. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer. We present these gifts as a token of our love and our desire to serve you. Receive our gifts now, for we offer this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alistair is leading us in prayer this morning.
So let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill is shown from heaven above, and nevermore shall cease. compassionate and holy God, in this season of Christmas we celebrate with joy your coming into our midst. We celebrate with hope your coming into our midst. We celebrate with peace your coming into our midst. For you have come to save us. By your grace we recognize your presence in men and women, children and youth, in all parts of your world. Through your strength, our lives can proclaim joy and hope. Through your love, we can work for peace and justice. For you are the source of our being. You are the light of our lives. Lord, your birth at Bethlehem draws us to kneel in wonder at heaven touching earth. You were born in a stable, but worshipped by the angels. And we have nothing of our own to bring except what you have given, our lives for your life. Dear Lord, thank you for taking care of us and loving us all through this past year. We know that we have not been the people we should have been. Sometimes we have been lazy or disobedient and wanted our own way. Sometimes we have been quarrelsome and lost our temper. We have been greedy and selfish, wanting all the best things for ourselves. Please forgive us as we come before you in the silence of this moment. Lord, forgive us and help us to follow you better in the coming year ahead. Be for us a living hope that lightens our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for every good and lovely each and every day. But most of all, thank you for yourself and your great love for us. Father, as we gather here for worship today, may we not let the excitement of Christmas fade. Help us to keep a song on our lips and joy in our hearts. Help us to remember why we celebrate Christmas. May the word which was made flesh be heard in our worship. May Christ be born again in this congregation and in the life of each person here. May the love of Christmas fill the church and the peace of Christmas fill our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave us these words of prayer, we now say together, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our service today is based on the fifth of the studies from the Advent study booklet, and there were readings set for this Sunday. The first of these is talking about our place within creation, and that's Psalm 148. There is a reading on the supremacy of Christ, of Jesus as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And the third passage, which we're not actually reading, but I'm sure you know the story of Jesus being presented at the temple, and there we have the prayer that Simeon has for himself, for the world, and having met with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, that prayer from Luke's Gospel will be there in the sermon. But Marian is first of all going to read to us from Psalm 148, and from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
The first reading is Psalm 148, reading verses 1 to 14. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, the supremacy of Christ. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Hymn 315, Once in Royal David's City.
Thank you.
in our study booklet for that fifth chapter, Room to Spare, Room for All the World, we find that it is clearly designed for this Sunday. The study booklet begins as we head into the new year, and the first question that is asked is, what are we making room for in 2026? How many times have we complained that we have barely recovered from Christmas when society seems to demand that we join the rush for the next big celebration? This weekend, we are likely to find ourselves being asked or asking others a couple of questions. Did you have a good Christmas? Did you? What are you doing for New Year? Well, you can tell me later. Both questions are likely to be expanded by queries about family, friends, and in relation to Christmas, gifts received. And for children, was Santa good to you? I have a sneaky suspicion that Boxing Day is a better day for children than Christmas Day. Oh yes, there's lots of presents to open on Christmas Day, but all too often there is neither time nor space to play with the toys received. The house has to be tidy, and you have to spend time with the various guests who have been invited. So yes, you can open your presents, but tidy it up, because we've got folk arriving and we can't have elderly relatives tripping over things. I suppose I've now become one of those elderly relatives. And then there are the terrible aunties that you've got to greet and all the rest. Now, I have a suspicion that this liking for Boxing Day applies to adults too. It is very often a more relaxing day that allows an appreciation of Christmas Day. We think back over the conversations we've had and the gifts we've received, and maybe even the worship that we've experienced over Christmas. And here's a question. Is a Christmas lunch on Boxing Day, in other words, the leftovers, sometimes maybe a bit more enjoyable than Christmas Day? Wee question. You know how stressful Christmas Day can be. The roast tatties are hardly brown. The Brussels sprouts are still hard. That's not ready. This is too ready. And there's all that rush around Christmas dinner. On Boxing Day, the leftovers are dumped on the table and help yourself. On Boxing Day, prior to lunch, I read a chapter of a book I received for Christmas. The book is A Short History of Nearly Everything, version 2.0, by Bill Bryson. It says that this is the 2025 version of his book and has been revised to take in another couple of decades of scientific discovery. And that first chapter just seemed to fit really well with the comment on Psalm 148 in the study guide, where the author talks about having room for us in the majesty of creation. As I read the chapter and in the study book and thought about that first chapter in the book I'm now reading, I was reminded of a verse that we possibly know reasonably well. It's from the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Eternity and infinity have, for some people, and I'm one of those, a really strange fascination. It is that idea that there is something without end, because we are finite. We live in time and we are physically limited. So what's beyond infinity? That place that you cannot reach. What is outside eternity? Since we live in time. In the book I was reading, there is the idea that scientifically, it is nonsense to talk about what happened the moment before the universe came into being. Since time, according to Einstein, is part of the universe of which we are part. So it is nonsense to talk about something before time existed. There can be no time if time did not exist. And that set me thinking on a theological level. It is nonsense to think of time before creation. It is equally daft to think of God before creation, because there is no before. Time is part of God's created order. Eternity is not an infinite amount of time. God is eternal and infinite in being, which is difficult to grasp since I clearly live in time. I can feel myself getting older. I know that I was once younger. Perhaps the closest definition of the very nature of God is God's answer to Moses. Moses said, "So who are you?" And God said, "I am who I am, and I will be who I will be." And somehow that speaks of eternity and infinity. It's not about extended time. There's no befores or afters or anything like that. There just is. And the wonder of Christmas is that in the immensity of the cosmos, God loves and cares for each one of us. That first chapter of the book was talking about the immensity of the universe as we know it through science. We've been talking about our place as a place at the table, a place at God's table. And we talk about the wonder of the eternal Son of God becoming part of creation, the Creator becoming creature. We sense this as something improbable, when the truth is that it is a physical impossibility. Except we believe in an infinite God, and we are trying to fit our concepts of who God might be and who Jesus is into something that we can measure and know. And God is always beyond that, beyond the confines of anything we can imagine. When we consider the immensity of the cosmos, it might appear that the Christian faith is a real conceit. We are such a tiny speck of matter. How can we possibly matter to God? I apologize for the pun. And that again has us thinking in terms of what is finite and human, rather than remembering that God is beyond. God is infinite and eternal. We are God's choice in terms of creation, and we are, to go back to that study guide, invited to the table to a place that God has created for us. In creating humanity, God has given us many gifts. We are self-aware and able to ask existential questions. You can tell I'm one of those, I must have been one of those terrible children, absolutely full of questions. The endless why. We may think that a lot of life is very limited for us, but actually we have many opportunities to choose and the ability to choose. We live with concepts like good and evil. We make choices that are good and right and rejoice in it. We make decisions that are at times wrong and destructive and despair at humanity. Yet there is something in us that means we can understand that there is the possibility of better, of higher, of greater, a place where we can be more human, and somehow the better, the higher, and the greater makes us feel that we are more human. And often when we're thinking like this, we're looking to be more like God. And of course, God created us in his own image. We are what God created, regardless of what we are. Through Jesus, we are invited into the embrace of God, and through that embrace, in turn, called to embrace what God loves. To have a place where we embrace creation with a mixture of care and wonder. To have a place where we embrace each other as created in the image of God and looking at the other as much as God sees us. Regardless of what that person is. That whole business of Jesus saying, we're to love God with every part of our being, and we're to love each other. Well, how much? Well, there doesn't seem to be a limit. Jesus talks as though we could love in an infinite way. Love your enemy. Love others as much as I love you. Love as much as God loves. And to know that we all have a place at the table. Jesus is the love of God incarnate. And we were created in the image of God with the purpose of living God's love in the world. And maybe just to go to those words. Simeon, an old man who'd been promised that he would see something beyond his imagining, that he would see what God was going to do. And his prayer, his words in the temple, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. A salvation where no one is excluded. God's arms are open wide, but God gives us that gift of free will. We are asked to choose. And for those who accept God's embrace in Christ, we are called to take that into the world that God still loves and still longs for response from. Amen. In some ways, I could have cut the service shorter and just sung the next hymn. It's one of my favourites, and I think it's a favourite because in three very short verses, there is an expanse of theology that is mind-blowing if you really read the words at heart. That love came down at Christmas. We're going to sing that hymn 316, a hymn that it's the words of Christina Rossetti, a very short poem, but encapsulates so much of what Christmas really is that love came down at Christmas, the infinite and eternal love of God, into the world of which we are part. So let's sing before we turn to prayer for the world that Jesus came to as love incarnate. Let's sing.
So let us once more draw near to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time of year, many folk reflect on the year gone by, some with thanks, some with joy, some with sadness, and probably all of us with a mixture of all these and more. May many give thanks that Jesus came to give life in all its fullness, offering forgiveness for our sins and giving hope for the future. At the end of another year, there are many issues still unresolved in our world, not least the situation regarding Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We pray for the success of President Zelensky's peace plan and for him as he meets with President Trump today. Although we know that it's very hard to make peace with someone who just wants war. And yet nothing is impossible with you. Eternal God, we pray for our elected representatives, our politicians. We ask you to grant opportunities for our MPs and MSPs to undertake the work that you have ordained and provided for them. Remind them that because of our human frailty, we all need to seek your protection and grace. Please guide them in any specific areas of responsibility they have to follow your ways of righteousness and mercy. Sovereign Lord, we bring before you the multitude of refugees who have fled their country and those displaced in their own lands. We pray that you will comfort them and lead them to places of safety, whether they be fleeing war, persecution, famine, or natural disaster. We ask that those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus, who was himself a refugee in Egypt, will especially know your guidance and provision as they adjust to these circumstances. We ask you to mobilise your people to support those in need, in imitation of our Saviour. As we think of the work of your church in your world, and including in our country, we pray for the the Scottish Bible Society, and for the ongoing work of members of the Gaelic community in Scotland who are proofreading the Gaelic Bible in preparation for a reprinting. And we pray too for the ongoing work of Bible translation in other parts of the world, that many more will be able to read the Bible in their own language. We thank you for the street pastors, including in Dunfermline. We thank you for the great opportunity they have to go out and make a difference. Lord, let your light shine in dark places in the communities of our land. As we look towards a possible union with Limekilns, Curus and Torreyburn churches, we pray that we would have unity amid our diversity. As the elders meet at the forthcoming joint Kirk session, may we see the unique contribution each can make towards working together. John the Baptist's father Zechariah prophesied that the rising sun of the knowledge of salvation will come to shine on those living in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. We pray for peace for those who are at the end of life. Dear Lord Jesus, you have been through death yourself. Be near to those who are dying. Make yourself known to them. Give them your peace and take away their fears. Comfort the very old. May they know your company in their closing years. Be with those who minister to the dying, who seek to relieve their suffering of body, mind, heart and spirit. Tell them of your love. And Lord, may you make our love for one another and for all people grow more and more. So now in the silence, we bring to you our own personal prayers. And so, Father, we bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
To conclude our worship today, I thought I'd choose something with, it's maybe just a wee bit different. I can't remember the last time we sang this in worship, but there we go, Mission Praise 114. And you need a deep breath for the chorus as we sing Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Thank you.
now, with all the joy of Christmas, into a new year, knowing that you go with the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.